New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We're thankful for the several areas where this broadcast is being heard here stateside, several states right here in the United States of America. We're also thankful that every week this broadcast is heard on European shortwave radio covering England and Ireland and Scotland and Western France. We're thankful for the evangelists and missionaries of the true gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. I'm thankful for people like Linwood Smith that go into India and various other places taking the gospel. I'm thankful for evangelist Ed Jones of Hillsboro, Ohio, that carries the gospel around the world by shortwave and by radio. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He never said, "Go into all the world and preach the church of your choice." He never said, "Go into all the world and preach denominationalism." He never said, "Go into all the world and preach Protestantism or Romanism." He never said, "Go into all the world and preach some kind of a doctrine that'll make the people feel good." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures." And then he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Why did Jesus say that people had to be baptized to be saved? It's because people have to be baptized to be saved. Because when you're baptized, that reenacts the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. You're baptized after you believe and repent into Christ. You go down into the water. You go down mean and you come up clean. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you're saved by grace through faith. Someone asked a very popular preacher some time back if he believed that baptism was essential unto salvation and that you had to be baptized to be saved. He foolishly said, "I would really rather rely on the grace of God." Why, bless your heart, Bible believers. Repentance and baptism for the remission of sins, the plan of salvation, is the grace of God. What do people think that the grace of God is if it's not the plan of salvation that He has given? And that salvation is all wrapped up totally in the Lord's church. There's salvation in the Lord's church. There's no salvation outside of the Lord's church. Someone says, "I have friends that are good people, and they have brought food. When we were hungry, they went to see me when I was in the hospital." That's wonderful. You'll do that if you're a Christian, but you're not saved by taking food to your neighbor. You're saved by being born again. You're not saved by visiting someone in the hospital, although when you're saved, you'll visit someone in the hospital if you have an opportunity and there's a need. You're saved through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all through the Lord's church. Someone says, "I have been out of the church for these many years. I've not lived the right kind of a life, and it's been a shame the way I've lived. I've not lived for the Lord." Why, bless your heart, you can turn around. The Apostle Paul even turned around. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And the Apostle Paul now was saved. At one time he thought he ought not to be a member of the church. He thought he ought to persecute the church. And so he was against the church, and he abused the church, and he tried to put the true church out of business. But he met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, Jesus will tell you what to do to be saved. You'll say what they said on the day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told, "Repent and be baptized." There it is again, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And so it's time to get serious. The Bible, in the epistles, uses the term high time. And so it's high time to get serious. It's high time to get serious about the kingdom of God. It's high time to get serious about the church. It's high time to get serious about soul salvation and redemption. It's high time to get serious about keeping our children out of hell and a Christless eternity. Why, people will give their children designer jeans and shoes and let them ride around in a car and not teach them the way to heaven. The way to heaven is found on the pages of the Bible. And when we're in the church, we're on our way to heaven. That is, if we're a part of the church that is described in the Bible. We're not on our way to heaven if we're a part of man's church or a part of the church of our choice or some sectarian organization. But if we're a part of the church that Jesus built, that's what we want to be a part of. If we're a part of that, then we're on our way to heaven. The Apostle Paul, prior to becoming apostle, felt tremendously guilty because of what he had done. He was zealous against the church. As a Jewish official, he thought the church ought to be put out of business. And then he was converted, and my, how he converted many, many in the synagogues when he went in there to preach. And the only reason why the apostles ever went in the synagogue was to convert the ones that were in there, because they weren't under the law anymore, weren't under the Sabbath laws anymore. Actually, the Gentiles never were under the Sabbath laws. The Sabbath laws and the Old Testament laws were never given to anybody but the Jews. And you had to be a proselyte in order to come under those laws. But they've been nailed to the cross. There's many people that are bringing shame to Jesus by going to the cross and trying to pull down off of the cross those doctrines and ordinances and commandments that have been nailed there. But what Jesus has nailed to the cross, leave them there. Come to the new plan, the new program, the new covenant. We're under the new today. And the Bible teaches on the first day of the week that we won our victory. That's where Jesus rose from the grave. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that the Jews kept the old Sabbath law because they were delivered by the high hand of God out of Egyptian bondage. Well, we were delivered by Jesus on the first day of the week out of the bondage of death. He arose from the grave. And that's why the disciples met on the first day of the week to break bread. But Paul found out that after living a sinful life, after being sincere but sincerely wrong, that he could turn around and that he could be saved and that he could be spared. And so he felt the guilt. He said, I'm the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And so therefore, he came out of sin. He was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. You see, in this passage, the Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. I just quoted Acts 2:38 where it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. I quoted Mark 16 where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But those that have the peculiar notion that baptism is not essential, they have a time explaining all of these verses away. But friends, I'm not going to explain any of them away. I believe them all. I believe everything the Bible says. I believe it needs to be rightly divided. And Paul said that he persecuted the church of God. And so in Romans 16:16, the church, of course, which is our present subject, was referred to as the churches of Christ. Romans 16:16, it says, the churches of Christ salute you. Now, it's using the term, the church of God. Paul says that he persecuted the church of God. And of course, it's in the Bible. This is a scriptural name. The church is referred to as the churches of Christ. It's referred to here in other passages as the church of God. It's simply referred to as the church. It's referred to as the church of the firstborn. But it's never once in the 66 books of the Bible called a Protestant church. In the 66 books of any Bible, it's never called the Catholic Church. It's never called by some denominational name. The church was bought and paid for by Christ, and so therefore it wears his name. Someone says, there's really nothing in a name. How can we say that when the Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? And so are we way out in left field when we say the church ought to wear the name of the one that bought it? Are we way out in left field and radical? Are we way off when we say the church ought to wear the name of the one that bled and died for the church? Protestantism never bled for the church, so the church shouldn't be called Protestant. Romanism never died for the church, so the church shouldn't be named after Rome. And denominationalism never died for the church, so the church shouldn't wear denominational names. It should wear the name of its founder, Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says the disciples of Christ were called Christians. They were called Christians first at Antioch, and the churches of Christ salute you. It's called the Church of the Firstborn. It's called the Church, and here it's called the Church of God. In each case, it's named for the one that sacrificed for the Lord's church. We better get serious about the church. The Bible teaches here that Paul turned around, and when he was turned around, he received mercy from Almighty God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verse 19, the Bible says, the churches of Asia salute you, and Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. This is very interesting. There are references in the New Testament where the church was in the house. When the church went in the cathedral, it died. When the church went into four walls, it started weakening. When the church was meeting in houses like it did back here, when the church was a movement, when the church was on fire on the day of Pentecost, they never had a cathedral to go into or a big church building to go into. Sometimes I think we'd be better off without them. It seems like we're spending more time in the real estate business in the churches than we are winning souls. But here the church was in the house, and you, across the board, talk to someone that's been a part of a church in the house, and they'll talk about what a glorious experience that was. And so the Bible says, salute the church that is in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And so the church was a humble, loyal institution in those early days. And if we're going to recapture the glory of the Lord's kingdom, I'm afraid we're going to have to go back and do what they did back there in those early days. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And so it was the church of God which was at Corinth. Or it was the church of Christ which was at Corinth. Or the church of Christ, or the body of Christ that was at Ephesus or Colossae. And so back there they simply wore the name of the founder. Well, someone says, if back there they were simply Christians, and they simply recognized that the church was the church of Christ, or the church of God, or the church of the firstborn, if the church never wore all of these names, why were these names added? Why do we have all of these Protestant names? And why do we have Romanism? And why do we have all these denominational names? Why? Because people got away from the Bible. They got away from the plain teachings of the Bible. Oh, there's many millions of people that believe in these groups that Jesus is the Savior, and they believe in many of the principles of Jesus Christ, but they have added. You see, it's not what they believe that is right which is causing a problem. It's what they've added. And no matter how much good we're doing, we nullify that when we add things that should not be added. And so I think we need some addition and some subtraction and some multiplication today. We need to add to our religious lives the things that are missing that are found in the Word of God. And we need to subtract those things which we've added that are not in the Word of God. And God's great blessings will be multiplied unto us. My, what a wonderful thing it is to be a part of the church founded by Christ. He's coming after the church. It wears His name, follows His ordinances. Tune in next week for more on this powerful biblical subject. Let's close with prayer. Father, help this broadcast to be a blessing wherever it's heard, whatever nation it's heard in. We pray that the people will respond to it and get to the Scriptures and study for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.